live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 171. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Doing all right, man. You know, it's a gloomy day here in Indianapolis. The sun tried to come out for a little bit, but, you know, we're going to make the best of what we can. You know, but not, other than that, man, pretty good day for me, man. I'm ready to talk some sports. I know that.
All right, absolutely. We've got a big show this evening lined up. We've got the Indiana Pacers. We went live last week. We got some Indiana Pacers talk with their new coach, Rick Carlisle. We had our instant reaction last week, moments after it was announced. Tonight, we kind of talk a little bit about it. It's been a couple of days to stir over it. The press conference was today, introducing Rick Carlisle. He had some of his comments. We've also got just NBA news in general. I mean, NBA playoffs is going on. We've got the what's left of it, the Eastern Final, the Western Final, injuries galore. We've got all that to talk about, College World Series drama. We're down to the best of three series and now a best of one go tonight. We've got craziness with Jonathan's favorite, Scottie Pippen. We've got Paul George to talk about once again. Just a big show this evening lined up, taking your calls as well. Crossroads Sports Radio, presented by State Farm Insurance, Scott K. Nichols, and also Mavericks Custom Motorsports. So, big show tonight, John.
Huge, man. Where do you want to start at?
Well, we'll start most likely. I guess we'll start with the Indiana Pacers, and this is a little housekeeping, I guess. When you are talking, speak up a little bit. I have you coming in a little quiet. So, I don't know if that's you or not, but it's coming through a little quiet. But Indiana Pacers, Rick Carlisle, new head coach, announced last Thursday, I think it was. Last Thursday, I was trying to pick up the dog from the groomers, and all of a sudden my phone just started going off. Rick Carlisle is back, coached the Pacers from 03 to 07 for 4 years. Two of those years, they were in the Eastern Conference second round, and then they went to the conference finals, and then it kind of digressed each year after that, and then you just kind of had to get rid of Carlisle as they were going through the rebuilding process of the Jim O'Brien years. He kind of said today, you know, they have a win now mentality, and listening to that press conference, John, he really likes the roster. I really don't know how much shaking up Carlisle is going to do to start out this team, especially when you have the 13th pick, Cassius Stanley as well coming off the bench. You got McConnell, McDermott as your free agents. You might tweak it there, but, you know, really, he talks about he thinks he can see Turner and Domas playing separate roles, but also kind of getting those mixed minutes in. So I think now he might keep the roster.
We'll see. We also got to remember, I kind of caught a tidbit of his press conference too. The hot button for me is always going to be the play of Miles Turner, the inconsistency play of Miles Turner. The guard play, you know what I'm saying, whatever Carlisle wants to bring in. Guards of different eras, whether it's Chauncey Billups or even Luka Doncic or even trying to think with guards, oh my goodness, that he had during the Jermaine O'Neal era. You know, that he had. He knows how to coach, you know what I'm saying, he knows how to get effective guard play. From the point guard and shooting guard positions, but so it's going to kind of come down to, for me anyway, like how much does Miles Turner want to really commit to? And he's been a guy that's been able to commit to a fitness program and trying to get better. But again, we don't need Miles Turner to be a wing player. We need Miles Turner to be more of a post player. And I know, you know, the post play is not like how it used to be where we had Kevin McHale and Bill Laimbeer mixing it up. But at some point, you do have to be a physical a presence in the post offensively. If you look at the play of, if we, you know what I'm saying, parallel, look at the play of John Collins. You know he's not Giannis, or even with my guy, Joel Embiid. But he does go down in the post, even though – and he does take his fair share of outside shots, but he does go down in the post. He does, you know what I'm saying, he becomes a highlight. It's at least two or three possessions of a game. So that's what we need out of Miles Turner. But I can't necessarily question what Carlisle is going to do that other coaches haven't done before. Again, dude, we are on our fourth coach, you know what I'm saying, underneath that we've had with Miles and technically Sabonis, and trying to figure out, can these guys play together, man, you know what I'm saying? So if Vogel couldn't figure it out, and we know he's not a dullard, and Nate McMillan couldn't figure it out, and we know he's not a dullard. I know Nate Borkman, the jury's still kind of out on him. You know what I'm saying? Now we're dealing with Carlisle. So if Carlisle can't get the best out of this particular team, I expect changes. Not necessarily right at, kind of like you alluded to, and kind of like he alluded to, and there's pressure, not necessarily right at the beginning. But if it's not working, and then we don't have buy-in, you know what I'm saying? That's what really drives the team, Brandon, is buy-in. If we don't have buy-in by the trade deadline in February, then I would expect a change.
Yeah, I don't think they would rule out a trade as well. But I think to be fair to this roster, I think to be fair to this head coach, I think you got to try to see at least what happens with them all healthy. With T.J. Warren coming back, a healthy Jeremy Lamb, Miles, Domas, Brogdon, I think you try to run it, see what happens. Rick says he loved the makeup of this team. There was strong mutual interest from both sides. That's why a deal got done quickly. And, you know, I like the fact that he's not going to take no crap. And the fact that if these players aren't going to adjust to his system, to his way, then they're out. You know, Meta World Peace, right, or I guess whatever his name is now, had great things to say about Carlisle coming back. Reggie Miller had great things. Jordan O'Neal had great things to say. Can this team go to the playoffs and win? Yes. Is it a championship caliber team, John? Probably not right now. I would say no. But, you know, did anybody think Atlanta was going to be a championship caliber team? Does people think, the Phoenix was going to be a championship caliber team? Yes, they have star players. But, you know, this team here, and he kind of says it reminded him of the 2011 team that it took on the Miami Heat in the finals, which I don't know who would be a comparison to Dirk, but for this Pacers team. But hey, you know what? I thought it was a good hire. It's one of those, there's two ways the hire could have went. People would have been who or wow.
Right.
And I think it was a wow, because you're like, oh, wow, Rick Carlisle left the Mavericks with Luka and came to Indiana, like, wow. And then also, wow, he's back. And, wow, this might be a good addition for this, what this team needs. And it really, for as we said on Thursday's little show we did, it's the only thing Pritchard can do to do damage control and get back some of the Pacers fans.
Right, right. I don't, like I said, Brandon, I don't question Rick Carlisle's X and O's. And to, like I said, if a guy's not producing, then find another way to win or another way to possibly motivate. He, like I said, he's been a player, albeit in the 80s, but he's been a player in this league. He took his lumps when the Detroit Pistons team kind of turned it, you know, saying didn't want to listen to him no more, and they had a coach change there. There's not too much that he hasn't seen as far as what the NBA. You know what I'm saying, has you know what I'm saying, as far as NBA, you know from a win-loss standpoint. Again, we were on the fringe as a team. Pacers were, because they didn't have buy-in with Nate Bjorken system, you know what I mean? And there's no way you cannot have buy-in, especially from the organization. The organization gave him $30 million. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he got to say now. We're working, I think, maybe was making $2 million a year. You know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, Carlisle's got the championship ring. He's got the win. You know what I'm saying? Between Dallas, Detroit, and formerly with the Pacers. And he's coming back in here, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying nobody's on notice. but they should be confident. The players should definitely be confident whether they like it or don't like it. We tried the route where we went with the guy that you didn't like, and you know, saying we exited it out. We went with a guy who's supposedly a player's coach, and not a hard ass or not demanding, like in Nate Bjorkgren, and see where that went. Now we got a guy that, you know, saying that everybody should believe in at least. You know what I mean? There's no developmental thing here. There's nobody that's necessarily getting a second chance, even, you know what I'm saying, even though the word retread is probably attached to Carlisle's name, right?
Right.
But we got a guy that should command respect in the locker room, man. We have some professionals. We do. That's what we can say. We do have some professionals in this locker room, whether it's Sabonis, Brogdon, the Holiday Brothers. You know, so we have some professionals that want, and veterans that want to win and kind of live in the playoffs and shoot, make it. We can blame the coach all we want, Brandon. But like, the players ain't the ones that got to the second round themselves. So, you know, that should be something that they kind of carry on. This, you know what I'm saying, the narrative I want them to do, that's what I want to be hearing. Like, we got to do, we as players, we have to do more, you know. So we'll see. But I think we're very high.
Yep. We're also looking at the NBA draft coming up. And we get the, it's like Christmas time, Jonathan Birdsong and his mock drafts. And who's gonna fit in well with everybody? Indiana Pacers right now, you can throw a dartboard at maybe five names that have been linked with the Indiana Pacers, or six names, and some of them are good, some of them are bad. Just some of those names: James Bouknight from UConn, Moses Moody from Arkansas. Both those two are shooting guards. Davion Mitchell, true point guard from Baylor. Jalen Johnson from Duke, which I don't know if I want anything to do with that, John. I might stay away. Corey Kispert, stay away as well. And then Ayo Adosumu, I probably said his name definitely wrong. The guy that kind of lit up the Big Ten. And I think Indiana, if they would go there, it would be more on the defensive end if they would go out and get him. But I don't know how he would do with that.
There's been a lot of guys that they're bringing in that they can probably stash in the G League or will get, like, minutes here and there if they make the main roster, you know what I'm saying, for the regular season. You mentioned a lot of those names. I seen B.J. Boston's name kind of come up, the guy, the kid from the one and done from U.K. He's got shades of Nick Young. However you feel about Nick Young and his time of tenure in the NBA. They also brought in Jaden Springer from Tennessee. He's probably the kid that I like with the most upside. Can play both guard positions, but again, somebody still that, you know, say, he's the one and done player that's got ways to become a real pro, impact pro. I would say, could he score in an NBA setting? Of course, but I say this, Brandon, but the other teams have found treasures. And Hall of Famers that pick 13. When you think about it, but like for the Pacers in this particular draft, some of these guys, like I said, Jaden Springer, Trey Mann from Florida would be another developmental guy. Even the kid from Duke, what's his name, DJ Stewart. He might want to go back to Duke. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying he could make the team, but he would be a G leaguer. You know what I'm saying? With the guard. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a point guard, and it's going to be a learning curve for him. So I'm not going to poo-poo anybody that they brought in. There's another kid, Joshua Primo from Alabama. Again, a kid that averaged 8 points a game, but a kid that had tremendous upside. Who probably, you know, next year, his sophomore year would have been, he probably would have been a potentially All-American candidate. You know what I'm saying? But again, you know what I'm saying, these are guys that just kind of betting on themselves, and you know, ultimately kind of wanting to start their pro career today instead of tomorrow. So, but again, like I said, a lot of the guys that they're bringing in are just, I would see them as developmental guys.
Okay. So be looking for that on our Facebook page, Jonathan Birdsong's mock drafts, as we approach the NBA draft here this next month in July. So looking forward to that. John, let's go straight to the NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference Finals, Bucks and Hawks. Series is tied at 2. Milwaukee had a chance last night to take a stranglehold on this, no Trae Young, to put the Hawks down, step on their throats,
yep,
that killer instinct. Even before Giannis got hurt, it was very clear that Milwaukee came out not ready to play last night. Credit to Atlanta for coming out playing well. And then once Giannis got hurt, Milwaukee did score a couple buckets to keep in, and then all of a sudden they went on a 15-0 run, hitting all these threes. All of this without Trae Young. Atlanta ties up the series now 2-2. Trae Young is going to be back for Game 5. Giannis is out. Hyperextended knee, no tearing of the ligaments, they said, no structural ligament damage. Their timetable for his return is unclear. So who has the advantage in this series? We know what Chris Middleton can do, good and bad, with this team. John, I'm at a crossroads right now. I still think it's Milwaukee, but I don't know.
Well, of course we're at a crossroads. This is Crossroads Sports, but no, no pun intended. I was totally disappointed in the Bucks' lackadaisical attitude on the floor yesterday on both sides of the day. Lackadaisical attitude offensively, lackadaisical attitude defensively. Even if, let's say Giannis gets hurt, let's take that into, let's say that still happens. They still didn't act like the best player on the Atlanta Hawks was not playing. They didn't play that way. Poor shooting in the first half, turnovers in the first half. They shot 20% from the whole night, from 20% from the free throw line. They are a team that doesn't have the ball stick. I mean, they share the ball. You know what I'm saying? I know sometimes people think the ball is always in Giannis' hand, but even then, he does pass sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But they had a lot of – I mean, Holiday ended up with like 19 points and 9 assists, but he was – they had 15 turnovers, and I think he had 5 of them. You see what I'm saying? Or maybe even 6. But again, man, they didn't play what got them to the table, team basketball. Look at what – they have a starter in Brooke Lopez that, again, had 7 points – to win, who can – when you look at the front line, and this ain't no disrespect to Clint Capella. It's definitely no disrespect to John Collins. But who can really guard Brook Lopez once he gets deep in the paint like that? He's a power player. You know what I'm saying? But yet still, they have him settling, or he settles for himself, for like 3-point shots like he's deadlift shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Or I mean, I'm just saying, like a wing player, you know? So, again, poor execution. On both sides of the court by the Bucks, and they just didn't take this game seriously. And then it ain't like they don't have pros over in Atlanta Hawks locker room, and they do that. Like I said, they have team buy-in. They believe that, I mean, they got the shirts that says they believe in their team. They believe that they could beat the Knicks. They believe they could beat the Hawks. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers. And now here they are, you know what I'm saying, playing against trying to get to the finals or trying to get to the NBA finals, man. So they played with a sense of urgency, the Hawks did. They played motivated. That's kudos to the locker room that Nate McMillan has kind of established there since he took over. And then Lou Williams, a 3-time Sixth Man of the Year, looked like an all-star last night. And then, you know what I'm saying, the worst came to worst, Giannis gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? So usually we've seen the Bucks play games where they're in an uphill fight, you know what I'm saying, where they're trying to battle back. Well, they can't. They're not a team that's good like that once they get behind a certain amount of points without Giannis. Okay, so again, I don't know. I see them going into a different gear. You know what I'm saying? They'll come up with a different. I don't think he's gonna play in the next game for sure. I know that for a fact. Trae Young, I don't know, but they are a good enough team that they should be able to beat the Atlanta Hawks. They should have beat the Atlanta Hawks last night, and this would have been even with the injury. They still should have been able to close out the Hawks tomorrow. But the Bucks will play. They'll come up with a. They'll take a chip on that. They'll take this game as a chip on the shoulder, and I got them winning the next game. But as the series goes on, and they don't have the service of Giannis, and I think ankle, you know, what I'm saying the ankle will get better before Giannis's knee will get better.
Right.
And you got to play the long game with Giannis, because the Bucks really do believe that they are the best team in the East and they can beat the Hawks anytime they want to. They don't want to risk. I know it sounds crazy. They don't want to risk Giannis to get to the, you know what I'm saying, losing him now, and then because if you play Phoenix or the Clippers, you go, and then without Giannis, they're not going to win. You know what I mean? So they should have took care of business last night. They didn't. I think they take care of business tomorrow. They clean up the turnovers. You see a better Drew Holiday play. I didn't get on Middleton. Middleton looked like Kobe Bryant game four. I'm sorry, game three. And then he looked like, you know, he looked like Gerald Wilkins playing last night.
Wow, Gerald Wilkins.
Yeah, he looked like Gerald Wilkins last night. So I think, you know what I'm saying, those guys are all-star level players, man. Drew Holiday has been an all-star. Middleton, they didn't play like all-stars last night. They didn't play with a sense of urgency, you know, and they let the lead, you know what I'm saying, expand on them, and then they got out of hand. So I expect them to, you know, to bounce back. And they got to get better play out of Lopez. They got to get a better, more consistent play out of their bench. That would be Forbes, Portis, and even Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I'm still, like, I even said on Twitter the other night, like, the fact that all the fans can get in Giannis's head during free throws and this sumbitch can still go up there and airball free throws is just, you are a professional player and you think you're a superstar. You better start acting like it when you're shooting free throws and at least hit the damn rim. If anything, I don't care. Shaq at least hits rim. He didn't airball as much as with Giannis. Giannis may have we're going to have to search this up for stats, but I wonder if Giannis may lead the league all time in airballs, or if he has a damn good chance to by the end of his career.
Oof, it's not a good look.
No.
It's not a good look at all. You got it. I don't know. You can't
I love the fact that you're doing the coach's face. Because he's pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's he working on in the offseason? Nothing, obviously, if he can't hit rim on a damn free throw consistently. I'm not even saying make it, John. I'm saying hit rim consistently.
Yeah, that also, like, dude, like, why would you attempt a three then? If you airballing,
right.
You airballing free throws, why are you even attempting the three? It's crazy, man. They get out of their heads, man. That they had a game to spare.
Uh-huh.
And that's not really championship. That's really not championship level basketball. That's not how anybody from the past, you know what I'm saying, past greats who went on to represent the conference, whether it was Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant from the West or even the Miami Heat from last year. I know they didn't win, talking about the Heat, but that's not championship level basketball where you take games off and plays off knowing that you have potential, you got plays and shots. Yeah, but like you need to, again, the Atlanta Hawks is a different team without Trae Young, right? And the Bucks did not play them like that. They didn't. Not from the tip. They did. They should have been up 15, and they were down 15 or 12 at the half. That was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. Milwaukee Bucks, frauds. I called them the F word, frauds.
Oh,
they are, John. Come on. Come on now.
I read them. Hey, man, remember I read them the Riot Act back in the Brooklyn series.
Milwaukee to do it again.
Around game four, and then they turned their fortunes around. But that was when they had everybody 100%. They need to read themselves the Riot Act and potentially, you know what I'm saying, close out the Hawks in the next two games. But I be honest with you, I think, like I said, I think the Bucks win the next game. But I think the Hawks somehow win game six, and we're talking about a game seven scenario here.
Okay. Looking at the Western Conference. It's 3-2 Phoenix. Paul George, but set your recorders real quick. I will give Paul George credit. I will give him credit. The fact that he went, the performance that he put up the other night in the second half, the fact that the way he was shooting, the aggressiveness that he had, backs against the wall on the road, he showed me something. Okay? Now, Paul.
Uh-oh.
Can you do it consistently? Okay? That's the biggest step now. Can you do it again tonight? Because you got to do it tonight at home. You're going to need to have another performance just like that to carry it to a game seven.
Brandon, I'll keep your thought real quick, man. I'm not going to shout my guy out because I know you. When I tell you what I'm going to say, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Do you think this past game he didn't have any pressure on him? I don't believe that. Like we have one of our co people that it's in the field of ours, right? Said that that was the easiest game Paul George ever had because there wasn't no pressure. I don't buy that. I think there's more pressure tonight. I think there's more pressure tonight to keep the season going. He plays in the big market, big time. This ain't like, and I'm not saying he got crapped on when he didn't get crapped on when he played here with the Pacers. You know what I'm saying? After a while, people got tired. Like, you know what I'm saying? The plus minus reports came out, and you know what I'm saying? Did he have a game winner? That report came out, and it wasn't in Paul George's favor. But he plays in the big market where you're the little sisters, you're the little brothers and sisters to the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
And they don't, you know what I'm saying, the L.A. fan base, you know what I'm saying, the California fan base, this is calling what it is, you know what I'm saying, sometimes Laker fans turn into Warrior fans, turn into whoever's winning, right? But in all seriousness, that the Clippers do have a fan base that expects them at some point to reach the brass ring. I know it's been since they've ever won a championship or ever gotten to this far this into the season, but like, I don't buy the fact that he didn't play with pressure or he didn't play with the fact that this game mattered either to his legacy or to the team's season. I don't buy that.
Uh-huh. I don't believe that whoever said that there was no pressure, because you know what? There was pressure. That's an elimination game. You're the main star player since your number one is out. It falls onto your shoulders based on that huge contract that you have there in Los Angeles as well. Is there bigger pressure tonight? You're damn right. Now, if maybe tonight was on the road, it probably wouldn't be because, hey, you know what? If you say, hey, Paul George put up a valiant effort in game five and won at home, and then they go on the road and lose game six. So, damn, you know what? Chips are against them. But, no, tonight's a home game. Paul George needs to come out with that mentality one more time tonight to get to that game seven where maybe Kawhi will play, maybe he won't. I don't know why Kawhi Leonard won't sit on the bench with his team. That's another thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, you're not, like, broken leg, whatnot. Get your ass down on the bench and sit with the team. At least maybe talk to the guys where, hey, you know what? I saw this. Maybe you can do this. Help coach your team. He looks like he doesn't give a crap. Just sitting up there in the – we just finally saw him in a press box 2 games ago. So
– right.
But Paul George – I'm sorry. I'll apologize if you make it to the finals, as I said. But, hey, buddy, you showed me something. I was proud of what you did there. Cheers to you. Now go out and do it again mm-hmm. tonight. Go out and do
he
it again
more,
tonight.
Right. He had a great shooting night. That was one.
Yep.
He got it, you know what I'm saying, got a lot of support from Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson poured in 23 of his own. I kind of think about what Larry Bird wanted Paul George to be here when he said he wanted to be a power forward. I thought that was the craziest thing Larry Bird ever said. But I think what Larry really was trying to say, we need more effort out of Paul George on the crashing the boards. And the last two games, that's what the Clippers have gotten. You know what I mean? So I know a lot of folks, I ain't gonna say you personally, I know a lot of folks still got an axe to the grind about Paul George. Paul George, I remind everybody, he did lie on his way up out of here, out of a Pacers uniform. And then there was that 1.5 year or 2 years that he played in Oakland. At Oklahoma that you know, that were forgettable. But, like, you know, I think he's – and then last year's bubble when he was hitting the side of the backboard, I can't forget that either, man. But I think he's really trying to, you know what I'm saying, redeem some of those past demons.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying, if he gets to the finals, just don't ever say playoff P ever again. Just don't say and know that you are living in the moment. Just don't ever say playoff P ever again.
Or 2 nights ago, that was a playoff P performance. The other previous games, that's playoff Paul. That's playoff Paul performance right there. So tonight, are we going to get playoff P? We're going to get playoff Paul. That'll be interesting to see what we get tonight. And it's up to him. But I do have one thing with Paul. And I actually will play – I'll say his quote he said after the game that kind of got to me after that last game, and then I'll play the quote that was said by the Inside the NBA after that game the other night. Paul George mm-hmm. on his comments after the game that, you know, hey, part of the hostile crowd, it's just I'm the most scrutinized player in the league. I just got to deal with that. I'm the most scrutinized player in the league than anybody else. Nobody else is scrutinized as much as I am. I call BS on that. Everybody. Okay. Everybody, you know, faced adversity at one time or another, whether it be Michael Jordan, LeBron James. You don't think these people face this? You're the only type of one? Poor me. I'm going to play the sound clip from the other night, NBA on TNT, inside the NBA postgame show with Barkley and Shaq kind of talking about Paul George's comments.
These dudes, man. These dudes, man.
What? What do you mean?
Every great player gets criticized.
Yes.
I don't hear that bull.
Crap.
Every great player. I have gotten criticized because I didn't win a championship. Michael Jordan, before he won the championship, yeah, he can't win. Shaq, Kobe, everybody's gotten criticized. This false narrative. I'm hearing these jackasses on television talking about somebody gets scrutinized more than other people. Give me a freaking break. Every great player who's played until they win a championship get criticized.
But I
got drafted with Michael Jordan. My first, I think he won the championship in his eighth year.
First 6 years in the league.
But I'm saying, he won the championship six or eight.
I think it was seven.
Okay.
Right.
Like, I remember when he was going up, when he put that 63 on the Celtics. Yeah, he's a great individual player, but he hasn't won the championship. They've always said that about me. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Patrick Ewing. I can go down the line and the line. But this notion that Paul George is a terrific player. But that goes with being a terrific player. And these other guys talk about he gets treated unfairly. Give me a freaking break.
John, your thoughts?
I sometimes think that the old guard, whether it's Shaq or Kenny Smith or even Charles Barkley in this case, they hit they're off more than they aren't. You know what I'm saying, with some of their takes. This one was spot on. You know, Paul is heavily scrutinized, but this, like I said, this kind of goes with the territory. You know, you didn't want to go play with the most heavily scrutinized guy. Let's just be honest. You ran away from that. And now that the all eyes on you, you know, it's going to be what it is. Dude, you missed two free throws when you in a game that you know what I'm saying, you're an 88% shooter. Like, dude, the numbers are always going to, you know, going to come up. You know what I mean? How'd you miss those? You know what I mean? The clutch gene, all those things are going to come up from the Skip Baylors of the world, from the whoever, you know? It kind of goes with the territory. People criticize Kobe Bryant. I ain't forgot. Remember the air balls he had in Utah? You know what I'm saying? And they said he was a poor shot maker. Or I'm thinking about Allen Iverson and the whole practice situation. And, like, you know. Everybody, all-star players get scrutinized for you know what I'm saying, for the level of play or you know what I'm saying. We're not going to praise you just because you blew out, you know what I'm saying, the Orlando Magic back in, you know what I'm saying, back in November. And then because, you know what I'm saying, we were also going to give you, you know what I'm saying, scrutiny when you have a lame duck situation like he's had, you know what I'm saying, whether it's missed free throws or backboard. The backboard shot from last year was horrible. It was horrendous, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, again, man, I can think about even Patrick Ewing in the Pacers series when he missed the layup. He's seven-foot guy right at the rim, missed the layup. Like, he had to eat that. He had to, you know. So, but I think sometimes, man, so I know you don't have this particular sound blur, but, like, man, I saw it. Like Shaq said, I would play every day if they wanted me to play. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know what I'm saying, there's the attitude now with some of the players now that, you know what I'm saying, we started the season too fast. And even with some of the back-to-backs that they had through the course of the season, even the playoffs, they're not necessarily spread out, you know what I'm saying, but, like, they're there every other day. And, like, Shaq came out and said, like, yo, I would play every day. Like, dude, Shaq, that's a lie. They couldn't even get you to lose weight. They couldn't even get you to train. You know what I mean? So sometimes I think they just like to hear themselves talk. You know what I mean? And that's cool. You know, I mean, they're paid to be lightning rods, to get people to watch, you know what I'm saying, to be more entertaining, you know what I mean? But like sometimes, like in this particular case, though, with Barkley, it's spot on. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Paul. You're not the most scrutinized player in NBA history. That's just laughable.
Right. Okay. We do have our caller, our main guy. D-Cott, what's going on?
Oh, what? Fellas, how you all doing tonight?
Good. You?
Oh, no. Okay. I couldn't hear. I usually hear the say you now can talk, but it didn't come through this time. Hey, listen to the show, right? Kind of digesting everything, right? Brandon, I think you made some good points about Pandemic P. Jonathan, I think you're spot on your assessment, what Barkley said with regard to guys getting scrutiny. That's ridiculous. And Paul George brought a lot of that on himself, first by doing the siesta out of Indiana, doing the same thing similarly in Oklahoma City, then going to L.A., then calling himself, giving himself a nickname, right? And then he goes out and he lays these eggs from time to time and big opportunities. He's paid handsomely, and he's looked at as a superstar for the most part. He's the second best player on the team. I get that. But when your best player is out, his game the other night, that's an expectation. That shouldn't be the exception. And what the problem is, some of his loyal followers are mixing expectations that are just unrealistic, and then matching up with doing what he's doing to the last game, which is ridiculous. He just can't do that. So then when you bring out his failure, then you're called a hater. No, you're assessing what he did. He played horribly, and his team needed him at the worst time. And he wasn't there. Those are facts. We can play games all we want with stats, and he did this and he did that. He's got to be more. He's too careless with the ball, and he's too lackadaisical with the ball, and he's got to be better as a superstar. Period. So it really bothers me sometimes when you say, "Oh, you're just hating on PG." And listen, the guy left Indiana four years ago. He's gone. That's not like someone's holding on to a divorce. You say, he left us at the altar. we were a good team with him. That was it. His last 2 years, we were a good team. That was it. He didn't take anyone over the top. He hasn't. He hasn't played in the NBA finals. He played in conference finals, yes. He has an opportunity to show his worth. The expectation is for him to play like he played the other night. So his sensitivity is showing again. The same thing that I told my nemesis, who's going to be calling in probably in a few minutes, because you bring it on yourself. Okay, you cannot put yourself in a situation and say that, and then when someone challenges you, you're out to get me. You can't have it both ways. The guy's a very, very good player. Show me that you're a great player by making it 3-3 tonight. And then by going in game seven, and Kawhi can – I wouldn't care if Kawhi is in Cancun. He ain't playing anyway. So you get out there and you show your worth. Don't talk about it. Be about it. And that's all I'm asking about PG and his loyal, faithful fans who are still in love with him. Just play ball like you're supposed to. Do the expectation. Yeah. That's a serious, comment. I'll use it kind of have to make it a little light, but it's just getting old when these people want to credit him for doing what he should do. Who's their second best player right now? Is it the kid from Kansas? Is that the second best player on the court right now, or is it
Reggie Jackson?
Is it Reggie Jackson who could?
Yeah.
This is 14? No, 15. You follow me?
Yeah, he's been around himself, yeah.
Right. So help me out, PG. Show me. So I'm going to be looking real, real closely for the first half because I can't stay up too late to see how he pans out.
Oh, man.
But I heard your talk about that, Jonathan. I think it was just spot on what Barkley said, and then the connection with what you said. That was on point, man. I couldn't agree more.
Okay. All well, right. We're going to bring on our guy here, this 5-6-minute comedy hour we're going to have.
First of all, he knows not what he speaks of. He talks about PG, but I never hear him talk about Donovan Mitchell. I never hear him say anything about Damon Lillard.
PG, man.
I never hear him talk about those players that are considered great players, but
Lord,
they've yet to reach it to the finals or even reach it as far as PG.
Have they given themselves nicknames?
It doesn't matter. They still hadn't made Whether I talk about how great of a player I am or if I don't, that doesn't mean anything. But your mentality, you saying, what have you done for me lately? And just because they don't go out and say how great they are or give themselves playoff Pete names, you don't talk about them. I ain't never heard you say nothing about Lillard
Paul George comes back to Indiana.
No,
he ain't coming back.
No, I'm just open-minded. Really, I don't care if we win or lose, but I don't have any animosity towards him.
I don't either.
Where I keep bringing up, but yeah, you do.
Because
on your Facebook page,
so now
and in the sports groups we're in, you troll people. Hey, we have one Lakers fan, we have one Clippers fan in one of our sports rooms, and he didn't come and throw the guy out. He can't take time because he don't talk about nothing else. He hates. You're not a nice guy. You don't tip when you go to El Emporium. You don't tip when you go to Wingin'
It. Please.
You don't tip when you go to Harper's. You don't.
Oh, wow.
You're not a nice guy.
Here's the deal. I did was assess a guy who's supposed to be a superstar, and I spoke facts. I didn't say I feel like he does. What I said was, if he is a superstar, he has to play like that. The expectation is for him to play above
his
head.
I agree with you on that.
Not below
his Mitchell, head. Is Mitchell
a
superstar?
Come on, Mitchell. Mitchell is like me.
Is Mitchell a superstar?
He's at my house tonight watching the game with me. Why are we talking about him?
We're talking
about the playoffs.
Lillard is a superstar.
Listen, what you want to do is discredit what I'm saying because it's fact, because you still love Paul George, and that's fine. But what I'm saying to you,
it's not fact.
It's not,
all I'm saying is you're not applying the law equally. You're not applying the law equally among superstars. You just are upset
because
you left
Paul,
the Pacers.
Paul George isn't a superstar.
Paul
George isn't a superstar.
He left the Pacers. You got to do what's right
not a
for
superstar.
Your team. You have to do what's right for your team and yourself. Paul George's not a superstar?
No, he's a star. He's not a superstar. Show me. Don't tell me. Show
me. Okay, who is your superstar?
Grab.
Give me examples. Give me your examples of a superstar.
The All-NBA top five players, those are superstars in my opinion.
Okay,
I'll
name them.
Listen,
name
I don't have to name them. What I'm telling you is this.
We can't name them now. Whatever, man.
To
you don't know basketball. You know emotion like a woman, like a shark woman. That's what you know.
Now
you let emotion drive your basketball decisions.
Now he's knocking women. Oh, my God. This guy, can we get a break from this
hold
guy?
On. Hold on.
Don't
I got proof
culture,
that you Ray. Knock women. No, he knocks women.
Hey,
he's happy what happened to Mary J. Blige. That's why his name is on Facebook, Khalid. That's the guy that's taking Mary J. Blige's money and everything. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that, huh?
Real quick, Reggie, I don't know if you saw it, but Jonathan's comment on Facebook Live said, Reggie, has your putting gotten any better? And then Khalifa, the number one friend of the program. That's his comment.
Yes, my putting has gotten better. My drives have gotten better.
Oh,
I got to get a little bit more consistent. But the last two times I played excellent. But that's why I was at El Emporium yesterday, and they told me they hate at El Emporium. They let me use up all this pub points. You know?
So listen, let me ask, what's your take on tonight's game? What's your take on tonight's game? Who wins and why? I want to hear your great assessment.
I'm going to place my bet. I'm going to take the Phoenix Suns.
I wouldn't bet if I were you because you've been taking L's about the last week. So
I won $300. I won $340 on a $20 bet last time. I lost
you
two bets.
It
I won $340. Thank you. But I'm going to take the Phoenix Suns. I'm going to take the over.
Take the Clippers.
And then I'm going to go look at some baseball games. I don't know who's playing today. I may bet on two baseball games. Let's see if I get my bet up to about $300 again.
I'll tell you what I'll do, right? So I know we don't want to kidnap the program. On air, you and I, you take the Phoenix Suns. I take the Clippers. I got
you
the
taking
Clippers.
The Clippers?
You name your price. Name your price.
You taking the Clippers?
Here we go.
I said Clippers. I didn't say, take, you name the price.
The first two Pacer games we go to, you buy all the beers.
Ooh, no, I like
it. Lose, make it all
no,
the beers.
No. I'll double you. Make it the first five. And if I'm wrong, I'll come back on here next Wednesday, and I'll apologize to you, and I'll make sure I'll get them up there.
So you saying the Clippers going to win
apology,
in L.A.
fellas,
tonight?
And on air apology, fellas.
You must know something I don't know. Is Chris Paul playing tonight? Is Devin Booker playing tonight? You must know some inside information I don't know.
You know what I know? I know Playoff P, he's been listening to me, and he's going to play out of his mind tonight. That's my bet.
I'm taking that. And I don't think he's going to have the game of his life. Because one thing about Paul George, he'll show up for a game or two. But when it's coming down to the stones of
isn't that what I've been saying, fellas?
No. What you've been saying is you treat him different than other people. You talk about how bad Paul George is, but I don't hear you talking about nobody else. I didn't hear you talking about Donovan Mitchell. I didn't hear you talking about Dame Lillard. I didn't hear you talking about Randle. I didn't hear
next
you talking
week,
about
guys,
nobody else.
Next
but
week,
Paul George.
Next week, I'm calling in about all those guys next week.
What's the other side of this bet, then?
First five games, the person buys all the beer.
What you're going to do, you're going to have your profile picture for 2 weeks, my choice, and each day you're going to have an apology to me, a public apology to me on Facebook. And the last thing, when we do go to Shelbyville, the first 100 is on you. That's on my end.
Ooh, I like this. I'm about to watch the whole game.
I want a public apology.
You bet.
Two-week profile pick with my choice for you, and the first $100 on you at Shelbyville when we go. And that's that.
That's a bet. But I'll tell you what.
That's a deal.
Yeah, the beer bet. That bet goes to you, too. I want the same bet. I'll give you the same bet.
Same.
Yeah. 2 weeks, right.
Same
2 weeks.
Tonight is must-see action night, Jonathan.
Brandon, all I'm saying with him is it seems like he has a vendetta against Paul George. I've never seen him truly know other players. There's plenty of superstars that haven't won championships.
Paul is not a
Charles
superstar.
Barkley.
Stop calling Paul George a superstar. You're disrespecting superstars.
Was Charles Barkley a superstar?
Absolutely.
He didn't win a championship. Was Karl Malone
You don't have to win a championship to be a superstar.
Oh, that's what I've been saying. But you saying Paul George is not.
Okay, listen. I'm not going to – we done railroaded the show. You've gone off the rails. But listen, you and I will catch up back on this. But the bet has been recorded, right, fellas?
Yes, loser. Don't show the women that you hate. Hey, you know what else he did? You know what else he did, Brandon? You know what else he did?
What?
In the sports world we're in, he hates women so bad. The sports picture you can put up, he put a picture of Bill Cosby up.
Cosby out of prison.
He did that. Yeah, he did that.
Have a good day,
and this is your number one caller of the show.
Be safe, Reggie. I'll catch you next time.
I'm sure your sponsors wouldn't like that. But, you know, I'm just telling the truth about the guy. The guy cheated off me in high school. He's a loser now. And I don't even know why I attempt to hang with somebody that drink Miller Lite beer. You know, the champion of – I don't even know why I hang with somebody that drinks Bumpy Face. You know, we're not in high school no more. We're 53 years old. You need to drink bourbon.
He's off the air now. He's off the air, so it's just you. But – hey, I got to know, like, you still didn't give me my answer. Jonathan putting on there that DeCott's number one caller.
And you know DeCott's not the number one caller, and he will never be the number one caller. He don't know sports. He knows trolling. I'm the king of trolls, and he trolls more than me. I'm thinking about giving him my name, and I'm going to take up a different name. I'll be called Reggie.
I got a bet for you, but you got to put it in within the next 10 minutes.
What is it?
Mississippi State money line to win the College World Series tonight.
That's cool. That's my three bets right there. That's what I need. Mississippi State to win money line.
I like them. I like the momentum they're on. I think they're going to do well tonight. So I've got money on them as well. So they're plus money.
Okay.
They're plus 20 or something like that.
I hadn't really been following it. I knew it was what Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, but I hadn't really been following it. But if you say bet it, I'm about to make that bet right now, and I'm about to bet the over, and I'm about to bet the Suns win.
There we go. All right, Reggie.
So that's
great talk.
Three-team parlay. And now, hey, Jonathan, I don't appreciate how you starting to troll me a lot lately, man. you know, you forget who you knew first. You didn't even know that bum and that loser. But now
I'm just trying to wake you up.
I noticed
I'm
you just traded a little bit. Even on Twitter,
I'm just trying to wake up the dragon
a little bit, man.
Reggie, huh? I look at you as the black Bruce Lee. I'm trying to wake up the dragon.
I love it.
All right. I'll let y'all go. Hey, man, great
see
show,
you.
Man. And I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, Reggie Sykes, DCOT, number one and number two callers. Crossroads Sports Radio, John. It's always comical, the 10 to 12 minutes that goes off the rails with them. But, your sister, Kelly Birdsong Hill, says, you know, I think the viewers should get a cut if they win as well. This bet tonight is must walk now, isn't it?
That'd be unprecedented.
Somebody's going to be paying up, man.
Kids getting paid.
Get a cut. Somebody's going to be paying up tonight, and then somebody's going to have their feelings hurt for 2 weeks on these Facebook profile pictures. So,
well, that's what they do, man. So I'm anxious to see. They want to go out. Actually, though, if they want to go out to El Emporium, right? El Emporium got all this free pub on our airways. I think we all make our way up there, at least take a picture or something, have like one or two
beers. Absolutely. I'd love to push through there and have the Hermanaki wings. Best wings ever.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Good stuff.
Absolutely. We've got 10 minutes or so before we take our first break, John. Vandy is destined. I don't know if Vandy's destined. They kind of limped their way in. We'll talk College World Series here shortly, but they limped their way in
right.
with NCAA screwing NC State over. So the fact they have their number two pitcher going tonight, but they were supposed to have their number three go last night, and he got rocked, got absolutely shelled. Mississippi State, they've been so close. They haven't won a national championship, but we'll talk more on that. What I do want to talk real quick, John, there was a comments yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. I was listening randomly, like I always do, one of my favorite shows in the morning. And no, it's not the Dan Le Batard show. No, it's not Keyshawn Subban and Jay Will. Jay Will, by the way, you know the Celtics have had a black coach before, right? Just check that. It's not the Dan Dockett show.
Not Big Joe.
It's not Big Joe. Don't get me started on Big Joe and them. And Jeff Rickert and all that show, but it was the Dan Patrick show. And John, our boy, and let me, I've got it queued up here. Our boy, Scottie Pippen, you know, sounds like got some sour grapes, some old wounds that he hasn't had healed just yet. But I'm going to play the clip here. It's about a 4-minute audio clip for the people who haven't heard it. And then we will talk it afterwards ourselves. So here's the clip from the Dan Patrick show yesterday, Scottie Pippen on to promote his new whiskey, his new corn, his new, hell, I don't know. He's got his new book that's coming out this fall that definitely has a lot of stories in it. That's going to be, but here's the clip with Scottie Pippen and Dan Patrick talking a little bit, talking about Scottie's sour grapes from 94 to even back playing with Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. So here it is.
Help me understand the GQ article where you talked about the 1994 playoff game when you refused to go back in the game and Phil set up the play for Tony Kukoc.
Well, I mean, it's not much to be said. If you go back and look at when Scottie Pippen entered the Bulls and when Tony Kukoc entered the Bulls and who deserved the last shot of the game.
No, I understand that, Scotty. I'm just going by what you said. You said you need to read between the fine lines, and then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a ride. So,
well, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last-second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan. Can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move.
Well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot, and you put me out of bounds. That's what I mean, racial. Like, that was Scottie Pippen's team.
But
Scottie
Bill
Pippen
then,
was
but,
on pace to be an MVP that year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why would you put him in a position not to be successful? Why wouldn't you put him in a position to succeed? Michael Jordan is not there. So who's next in line for you?
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because you, by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that. You know, I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle, and everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
Well, it feels like he's disloyal. I don't know if that makes him a racist.
Well, that's your
yeah.
way of putting it out, and I have my way. I was in the locker room with him. I was in practices with him. You're looking for him afar.
Yeah, and look, that's why I wanted to have you on. But I go back, and Phil designed a play for Steve Kerr when Mike was there. And Mike didn't have a problem with that, did he?
You're not setting me up to answer the right question. What do you mean Phil set up a play for Steve Kerr? He didn't set that play up for Steve Kerr. He set that play up for Michael Jordan.
I thought in the huddle, Mike says, I'm going to throw you the ball. You'll be open at the foul line. And Phil had nothing to do with that?
And you don't want to get this show started because it'll take us a long time. Do you know all those cameras that's sitting in that huddle who they was working for?
The NBA.
You know who Michael was speaking to when he said that, right? That was planned. That was speaking to the camera. That wasn't speaking out of what we're going to have to do, what the play is going to be. That was speaking to the camera. Had John Stockton not came down, trust me. But that was building his own documentary. Because he knew he was controlling the cameras. You understand English?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So all those cameras that was working were working basically for Michael Jordan, for the Chicago Bulls.
But
they were building the Come Fly With Me, the Air Jordan videos. That's what it was. That was not naturally spoken.
Okay. Right.
That was rehearsed.
Okay.
So, John, your thoughts, because it kind of got awkward in that interview with Scotty.
Right. It's a lot to digest, because, like, even if Scotty Pippen, if we ever have him or I ever talk to him and he asked me, do I understand English, that would be the end of the conversation, because it wouldn't be about Michael Jordan or whoever else, Tony Kuzo, who you played with. I'd be like, dude, do you understand English? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you on to tell your side of the story and so on and so forth. But, like, no, man, to digest it. So, again, he speaks with a forked tongue just a little bit when he talks about Michael Jordan controlling the cameras. That is probably true. You know what I'm saying? The marketing of Michael Jordan through what he learned from Nike and all that is true. You know what I'm saying? But there's no way he knew Steve Kerr was going to hit the shot. You know what I'm saying? There's no way he could plan that. Now, if you're saying that he planned that, and that then you're telling me that everything was rigged. You know what I'm saying?
That's
not true. But let's go back an even step further, man. So Tony Kukoc, even Michael Jordan, like if you go back and kind of read between the lines, they didn't really care like Tony Kukoc coming in. Tony Kukoc was the general manager,
right.
Jerry Reinsdorf. Jerry Krause's guy. Tony Kukoc was the number one rated European player coming into the league when the league wasn't, you know what I'm saying, all European friendly that it is now. So he was sort of seen as an outsider. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy that they didn't, you know what I'm saying, the Bulls organization didn't invest a whole lot of money, didn't want to invest a whole lot of money in Horace. He had gone to Orlando. And then some other moves that either Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen, hell, even Phil Jackson wanted, Jerry Krause didn't make happen, you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason. But again, that's a whole other – that's part of the equation. But again, like six championships later, how can you still say you hate Jerry Krause? You see what I'm saying? How can you still hate – how can you still – and I get it that he was sort of a jerk to him from like the contractual side, but that's like that all goes behind closed doors with all teams, I do believe. You know what I'm saying? So again, some of that hate or dislike they have of Tony Kukoc, that's where that kind of stems from. But we know to be true is Tony Kukoc was well-deserving of playing in the NBA. Tony Kukoc on any other team probably would have great, you know what I'm saying, better stats. And I know he played Milwaukee for a couple of seasons. I know he even played another season or two in Atlanta, but that was towards the end of the career. But like during that time, when he was with the Bulls, he was the number one rated European player for a reason. You know what I'm saying? He was that darn good, right? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Phil Jackson is a better coach. I mean, the Zen philosophy. I mean, hell, even Reggie Miller said that sometimes, and he's a great – I would consider him a greater shooter than Kukoc or Scottie Pippen. But even he said he's been on some plays that have been drawn up in his career, he was out there as a decoy. So said somebody else could get a better shot. So instead of focusing on the game – and the only reason why this came up because, you know, Scottie Pippen and Kevin Durant got into a spat where Kevin Durant was even more – you know, so you talk about – I know we were in the segment we had before here, we were talking about Paul George's feelings, Kevin Durant's feelings got hurt when Scottie Pippen just said, criticized, you know what I'm saying, gave a critical analysis, not criticized, gave a critical analysis of his game and how the Brooklyn Nets lost. And then, like I said, Kevin Durant brought the Kukoc thing back up. And then now, of course, media is going to ask Scottie Pippen about it, right? So, right. Again, you won the game, right? Yeah. That's what I mean. If I was Scottie Pippen, that's what I would say. Yeah, it was a bad choice of me not wanting to go in as a decoy or a report. I was mad at the situation or whatever. Got my feelings. Again, that was 30-something years ago. He's still playing. He's still got in his mind like he has an axe to grind.
And he's still pissed off about the Michael as well. Because the audio part that didn't play, he talked about, he said, well, me and Michael got nothing to talk about. Like, we'll talk like kids and stuff, but nothing with the game. He was pissed off with how The Last Dance portrayed him. Yeah, did they kind of give him a bad rap? Scotty signed a bad contract. Yeah, they did. And there, that might have pissed off Scotty a little bit. Because Scotty and Dan Patrick also asked him, like, you knew about The Last Dance, like this documentary. He's like, yeah, we were told it was just about our team and the Chicago Bulls, not about Michael. So he's kind of sour about the documentary and then the Kukoc thing. He sounds like a bitter old man now. You know, and I'm nervous. I'm not nervous. I'm interested to see what's coming in this book that comes out this fall now, too.
Right. But to use racism as a sour point
I don't think there was a leg to stand on there. But with what he said, like, I wasn't putting two and two together with him saying that. Like, that made no sense. It just been like, you know, I understand, Scotty. Yeah. Do you want the shot one time? Yeah, I understand that lingo, but a racist? I don't see that.
Right. Outside of Bill Walton, I don't think there's a bigger hippie, you know what I'm saying, than Phil Jackson that ever played in the NBA or around the NBA, you know what I'm saying, around that atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Hippie meaning that he was open to new ideas and consciousness and ways of thinking and empowering players. I've always heard Phil Jackson being he was the Zen master that got the most out of Dennis, since Chuck Daly did. He got the most out of Dennis Rodman, the best out of Dennis Rodman. Technically, hell, he got the best out of Scottie Pippen, right? It comes off. So Phil Jackson could be. So he mentioned the Kobe Bryant book, and he came back and coached Kobe Bryant. That doesn't make Phil Jackson a racist. That makes Phil Jackson a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? Because basically you still came back to come coach Kobe, and you still want to coach greatness or whatever. But man, racist. Nobody else. And then, like I said, Brandon, nobody else has kind of said that. And Phil Jackson has played in or coached in or administered general manager when he was the Knicks with many black players or other players of other ethnicities. And that racist has never come out of their mouth. Not high-profile guys, whether it was Kobe when he was here, God rest his soul, Shaquille O'Neal, Rick Fox, and when he was, you know, all those players who played in L.A., Of course, he took a little bit of a, you know what I'm saying, you know, LeBron got a little bit, you know what I'm saying, when he said posse. But, again, somebody from my era, who grew up in my era, if you had said posse, that was just like, you know what I'm saying, he's talking about my, the people I'm with, my entourage. You know what
right.
I mean? So, again, I've never heard any of racist. So this does – all this kind of comes off like Scottie Pippen watched a whole bunch of Kwame Brown videos and felt somehow empowered, you know what I'm saying, to want to hear his – but because you know what, Brandon? They always say Batman and Robin when they mention Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They don't ever say that when you talk about Larry Bird and Kevin McHale or Robert Parrish. They never say that about Magic Johnson and James Worthy and Byron Scott. And they never say Batman and Robin. So it's like, Robin, you treat me like a little kid, like I'm a little kid, like I'm the, like I'm a sidekick. What's that now?
They've said it about Kobe and Shaq, Batman and Robin. So, like,
yeah, and Brandon, it tore up their relationship. It tore up their relationship too. That's what got Shaq traded up out of the
right.
organization. Now, again, they made amends. That's the great thing about them. They made amends. If anybody can remember the documentary, they said it was great. It was like this: how people should settle their differences. You know, what I'm saying, my personal opinion. They got into, whether it was for the cameras or for the, you know, I don't think it was fake or anything. Like, they got in, they just sat in the room together and kind of talked it out. You know, but like Scottie Pippen kind of maybe needs that. I know there's a lot of ego that went along with Michael Jordan then and now, you know. So I didn't necessarily see The Last Dance as one-sided. I really didn't. I saw it as a journey into the past, and like with the Bulls and Michael Jordan, he's the head of the snake. He's the head of the top of the pyramid, you know. But I never thought Scottie Pippen as a lesser player. Now, lesser in the regards, if you're talking about if he was as good as Larry Bird or Magic Johnson, you know what I'm saying, some of those guys, right? But not lesser in the impact that he put to – dude, he's top five in all Bulls categories. All Bulls statistical categories, points, rebounds, assists, blocks, he's top five. So how could – I mean, and we all know that he didn't finish his career with the Bulls. Well, he finished his career, but he didn't play all his years with the Bulls. He played a couple of years in Portland and played a year in Houston. So he's top five in all Bulls statistical categories. So there's no way – this backlash – I got a lot of backlash from Bulls fans who automatically wanted it because he came out and said these crazy things. They automatically want to make him now all of a sudden Scott Williams – or Cliff Levinson, some type of cheerleader. But like, no, that's not the case. I think, like you said, man, before you played the snippet, Scottie Pippen's just a bitter old man now. And he wants people to respect what he has contributed to the game, not in a Robin secondary type of, I was just here for long for the ride role.
Right. And he says he enjoyed his time, which I'm sure he did, but it's not coming off that way. It's coming off that he's jealous and just bitter, kind of how it all. And he's, how many years ago is that, John? And he's still pissed off about the Tony Kukoc the shot. And like, it's time.
That's
to,
over 25 years ago.
Get over it. It's time to get over it. So, I just randomly was listening to Dan Patrick's show, and then Scotty came on. I was in my car listening, and I go, "Oh my God, we have something to talk about." Because I was able to get the clip, and then I sent it to you immediately. I was like, listen to this. Like,
right.
So,
right.
Scotty. So, all right, John, we're going to go quick ad read, hear from our sponsors. We got to pay some bills. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little quick NBA news and some college baseball, and then taking your calls and more.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. They do custom motorcycle builds, custom auto accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. John, they carry all the top brands and much, much more. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Tell them Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back. Conversation continues. Facebook live chat, Twitter, at Brandon Reef, at Three Foolish Men, and then also at Crossroads Sports. If you want to talk on there. College baseball, John, the final game is starting here momentarily, as long as it's not delayed for the third night in a row. Vanderbilt, defending national champions, taking on Mississippi State. Mississippi State has had a hell of a run in this tournament. NC State, John, over the weekend, a couple players tested positive, the rest did not, and the NCAA, I think, fell flat on their face and forcing them to no contest and advancing Vanderbilt immediately. Well, NC State said they would play a doubleheader on Friday night even, so they wouldn't have to worry about something on Saturday. NCAA said no and just said, didn't think of any other course of action, just said, nope, it's over, boom, you're done, these kids are done. Vanderbilt, you're automatically in the championship game. I felt like the NCAA once again got it wrong with that. The fact that Vanderbilt with Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son, pitched a hell of a game on Monday night in game one. Vanderbilt won, I think it was 8-2 or 9-2, I think it was. Leiter pitched phenomenal. This kid is young as can be. The guys, the Vanderbilt pitcher last night, John, 18 years old, pitching 98 miles an hour, just throwing straight gas. But got shelled. ended up, Mississippi State put a thumping on him. I think 12-4 was the final or so for that game. So tonight we set up the winner-take-all Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and all SEC College World Series final in Omaha. I'm excited for this game. I actually like Mississippi State. The momentum's with Mississippi State here. I know Vanderbilt's got the number two pitcher in the entire country, but yeah. I like Mississippi State. I'm going to take the underdogs.
Yeah, you got to – you know, Brandon, I watching over this past weekend, I was kind of reminded that I might just kind of like college baseball more than I like professional baseball. I know that might be, you know what I'm saying, taboo to say, but, there's too many politics, too much arguing that kind of goes on in professional and in Major League Baseball. But this, and aside from the COVID situation that they kind of unfortunately had to endure, they had too many outbreaks. But how are you going to feel – how are you going to put players out there and they get tested, but then fans don't get tested? Or you're not requiring fans. I get it that a state or a city might say that, yo, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you're going to be in a stadium, even an open stadium, I get it that, you know what I'm saying, the scientists might say one thing, but you still don't want to put, you know what I'm saying, anybody in jeopardy, your game, the kids, whatever, in jeopardy of a situation like this. Then you tell the fans, if you want to watch the game, whether you're a family member or a paying ticket customer or whatever, you got to wear a mask because we testing the kids 100% and so that we can get, you know what I'm saying, the game out, you know what I'm saying, and play it out without having to, you know what I'm saying, an abbreviation. But that didn't happen. I mean, fans are in there. You know, just like it ain't packed in there, just like it ain't, you know, like it was normal. You know what I mean? So that would be something that I think the NCAA should have looked at. They couldn't, unfortunately, extend it. That would have called, I mean, that, you know what I'm saying, or caused a pause for the College World Series. So they decided to make a call and to cancel it. I don't know if they sent them some type of consolation, you know what I'm saying, package, and apologizing for, you know what I'm saying, circumstances are kind of beyond everybody's control, but that it is what it is. I watched Mississippi State and Texas. It's not necessarily about the names on the back of the jerseys, if they have names on the back of the jerseys, some teams don't. It's about the guys who, to some sporting analysts say that these guys went to school because ain't nobody really scouting them. And I say bull crap. I think these guys are playing because they want to get looked at. You know what I'm saying? This guy is good. I mean, you know, yeah, it would be great to get drafted right out of high school, of course, and then you get called up to a farm system or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, some guys have to go this route. And I, like I said, when you have to go this route, it is kind of looked at as a secondary route to get into the big leagues. But I think like you said, when you mentioned Al Leiter's son playing, and even the kids, all the guys from Texas think they're going pro, Brandon. All the guys from the Texas, they walked in there against Mississippi State Saturday with a lot of pride and a lot of arrogance. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I think that's kind of what – I think that's what – I mean, because they have a lot of history of winning the College World Series. So, and I think that's kind of what kind of, you know what I'm saying, nipped them when they played Mississippi State. Because Mississippi State played with the – I mean, and not saying that Mississippi ain't got a winning program themselves. They just ain't never – they haven't won. They haven't been this far since, like, what, I think, like 2013 or 2012, something like that. They haven't been this far for quite some time, man. But I find – like I said, I find this brand of baseball very entertaining. You know what I'm saying? With the aluminum bat, the ping, instead of the, you know what I'm saying? Like
very pure, right?
Yeah, yeah. But like, nah, man, I think, and like I said, these guys are trying. You know what I'm saying? We got guys
absolutely
out here trying to steal base. We got guys, you know what I'm saying? They bunt in this league. They actually try to get hits and advance rates. I mean, this is the pure form of baseball that ain't bogged down by analytics. And I
Go
ahead, Brent.
How about the end of that game? It was the end of the game there. I mean, it was a walk-off on a wild pitch. I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are they're up in the dugouts. It reminds you kind of no offense to Little League, but it kind of mentioned a Little League. I think everybody wants to go out there. They want to try. MLB, you don't get that every night. You know, this is a winner-take-all double elimination tournament. And shout out to Barstool Sports because they're trying to grow the game of college baseball out there and put more eyes on it. And there's been a lot more viewership on eyes on the College World Series this year. And even didn't see it
right.
In the tournament. And it's got my eyes on it. I started watching it back when the tournament started.
Right. Right. There's no way after this season and after I watched the game tonight, there's no way going into next season that we're not going to be talking about it next year. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be following. Even from the local teams, I do believe the best local team that we have here in the state of Indiana is between Evansville and Indiana State. They have some of the best baseball programs, so I'm calling them out. We'll get eyes and ears on them. Notre Dame got a good baseball program, too?
They were ranked the top five nationally this year.
Okay.
They got knocked out in the Super Regional. They actually got knocked out by Mississippi State. So, and typically IU has a good, solid squad every year. It pains me to say, but they had Kyle Schwarber on that team. They had some other guys. IU baseball in the past has been very, very good. They went to the College World Series before. But, yeah, Notre Dame and Indiana State and Evansville are top three teams here currently. Shout out Ball State. Ball State did have a good couple runs.
They
actually had some players drafted in MLB as well. So, but I did find out this too, John. You know, I'm definitely getting into college baseball a lot more this year and reading it and watching it. The fact that Vanderbilt kind of has an unfair advantage because with them being a private school, they're allowed to give out more scholarships for baseball than your typical standard university is allowed to, which is why all these big names are going to Vanderbilt always because of the scholarship availability. So I found that out and I was like, that's a little interesting. So why they can always do that. But yeah. And looks like Mississippi State just scored first inning here already. They've already gotten a hold of them. So, hey, there we go, Reggie. I hope you took that bet right now. They're looking good.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody who finds Major League Baseball a little slow, a little boring, or a little unanimated to peek in just a couple innings of what the College World Series has to offer, and you'll automatically get engrossed. And you won't necessarily know all the players just right off the top of the bat, you know what I'm saying? But you'll find that they play a form of baseball that is definitely entertaining. And I don't want to totally crap on Major League Baseball. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to have Fred, whatever his name is, Rob Manfred. I've been on Fred Manfred. Rob Manfred calling the show, you know what I'm saying, giving us a cease and desist order for not talking about MLB on our airways. But, like, no, man, College World Series, again, like I said, the college baseball in general has kind of opened my eyes up. It's a pure form of baseball, and it's definitely entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Reggie says I did, but the number one loser, DCOT, didn't. Well, there's a long way to go, guys. So, but typically, whoever's inning in this game so far has won the game. End up winning the game. Whoever ends up winning the first inning. So they get on those run at those pitchers. And tonight's one of those that's kind of like you get a World Series Game 7 where pitchers are going to be all available and, you know, you're going to do everything, every little thing to win this game. I think it's probably going to get the highest rating. So looking forward to watching the rest of this game after we end our show. John, if you're watching the Facebook live feed, my Bible came today. If you can see it, Phil Steele.
What you got?
Phil Steele, college football, 2021 preview. 352 pages of gloriness here. If you can see, I mean, he's got little, there's little abbreviations. There's things on every single team. 356 pages, a beautiful, beautiful preview guide. So we are studying has begun for college football season coming up. National championship will be here in Indianapolis. So college football not too far away, John. And along with that, the NFL. NFL training camps start end of next month. Here at Grand Park, your Indianapolis Colts. I was reading, and hey, you can sit there and look at that Facebook Live again. NFL Pro Football Preview, Darius Leonard on the front cover. Reading some previews. They've got the Colts winning the division, which makes sense. So we'll give all win totals previews here down the road next month in the show when the sports world's pretty much at a halt. And then also, by the way, I didn't know Mitchell Trubisky went to the Bills. For some reason, that totally slipped my mind that he's with the Bills now. So,
I mean, it wasn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, report. Like, you know, he's going to the Bills in a backup capacity.
Right.
I'm not shocked that the scouts or Vegas would say the Colts will win the division. I think, just to give a little tidbit, my personal opinion, the Colts are going to be run heavy. They're not going to necessarily depend upon Carson Wentz. But he's going to be – listen, I say this, but he's going to make the throws that they said that these other guys could – that Jacoby and whoever else couldn't throw down. He's got to make – but we're going to be run heavy this year, particularly with the – like I said, I think particularly with the extra game that they're playing this year. You don't want to wear out your quarterback that's already got, you know what I'm saying, question marks around him, you know what I'm saying, either from a leadership standpoint or a health standpoint in Carson Wentz. And like I said, we got the best room outside of Cleveland, I would say, of running backs. I'd say.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I got the best. Go ahead.
No. I was saying, so John, in this preview magazine for the NFL I have a college one and a pro one. Let me give you the wild card results that they've predicted. I always like seeing this because some of them they're full of crap on. Some of them they're kind of spot on some years. So. Your wild card weekend in the AFC, Cleveland over the Chargers, Baltimore over Tennessee, and Buffalo over Indianapolis. So a rematch, Buffalo beating Indianapolis. Divisionals got Kansas City over Baltimore, Cleveland over Buffalo. So you got your AFC title game, Kansas City over Cleveland, and the Super Bowl, John, who do you think they have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl over if you had to guess?
Green Bay.
No.
Please don't say Tampa Tom.
No. They got them losing the NFC Championship to this team.
So somebody new to the NFC?
Sort of new. They've been here before.
All right, man. The suspense is killing me.
L.A. Rams.
Oh, wow. Man, that was going to be especially bad taste. They're going to leave a bad taste in a lot of people in Detroit's mouth if Matt.
I know,
Matt,
right?
If he can turn that around. They got the defense, you know.
Yeah,
now they got a quarterback. They got a quarterback that ain't scared. I'm not saying Jared Goff was scared. Jared Goff just didn't want to get hurt when he was already kind of injured. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to get hurt. So now you got a guy out there now who know how to manage pain, just to say that.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen Sean McVay. There was a Twitter video of him on the football field during these the training camps, I guess you can say, or the OTAs or whatnot. Cover your ears if you don't want to hear the language. But the camera did pick up. They were talking about Matt Stafford. And then one guy goes, yeah, so what do you think of Matt Stafford so far and everything? And he goes, that's a bad motherfucker right there. So apparently he thinks that Stafford's going to be that guy. And, hey, I hope it is for Matt. And there, Rams are going to have a good chance. We'll preview NFL. We get closer to training camps getting sticked off. First training camps to open, John, will be the Steelers and the Cowboys. They will be playing the Hall of Fame game in Canton and I am going to try to get tickets to that game as bad as I can. A lot of Steelers in the Hall of Fame that weekend, too. So looking forward to that. John, Portland hired Chauncey Billups. The allegations came up from a case, a sexual assault case or sexual abuse something case back in 97. Billups said it changed since then or whatnot. There's some backlash from people in Portland. There's a report that Damian Lillard wants out now, that he didn't want him as coach and he wants out.
Yeah, that's a mess. Kind of mess, man. So from the media standpoint, we're living in a culture, Brandon. I know we're media guys too, but I mean, we're living in a culture now where people are going to ask you about what happened 25 years ago. And if it's clear, for me personally, man, I don't want to seem insensitive to anybody, but if it's a clear situation where, you know what I'm saying, nobody cared yesterday, but now they care now because we're in this quote-unquote cancel culture, then, it's kind of laughable to me. Chauncey Billups has been a player in the league. Chauncey Billups has been on television, either working for ESPN or TNT in some capacity, and he's been an assistant coach with the Clippers for a while. Hell, he interviewed for the Cleveland Cavaliers job a couple seasons ago. Right. So again, man, I don't necessarily – I get investigative reporting. I get it. But, what are we really investigating here? You know, especially if it's something, a cold case or not even case anymore or settled out of court or time served, whatever the case may be. Why even dig that up? Why even mention the parallel? Why even mention Jason Kidd when his domestic violence issues that he had with his wife back in the early 2000s? I hate to even mention it, man. He's already been a head coach how many times? Two different franchises before. And then somebody, because again, we're in this cancel culture where reporters want to get even more famous. You know, that's what it is, Brandon. Reporters want to be even more famous than some of the athletes and some of the coaches and people that they cover. And what's the quickest way to get that? Well, they can't play. You know what I'm saying? What's the quickest way to get that? It's like, oh, I reported this. I reported that. I'm the one who busted. Well, you really didn't bust anything. You really didn't break over. These things are out there already on the internet. People, you know what I'm saying, now you want to ask the question. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of poor. Me personally, Brandon, it's kind of poor in taste. You know what I mean? But then you apparently also go over to the Damian Lillard side. I don't know. Damian Lillard at one point said he didn't want Terry Stotts fired. And then the organization just had to do their due diligence and fire him because Terry Stotts didn't win enough. All right, Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard has been a pro. Let's get a black coach in here to coach, right? I didn't hear him say anything bad about them because I think the final two candidates were Chauncey Billups and Becky Hammon. So I didn't necessarily hear him say anything bad about them hiring Becky Hammon. I just, you know what I'm saying? And again, I know we talked about Becky Hammon potentially getting a job at some point, you know what I'm saying, soon. I think it's going to be soon. I mean, it'll be soon, but obviously it ain't going to be this year. But he didn't say anything bad about that, but he was pro black coach. So dude, who did you want?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Tell the organization who you think should be the coach. But Damian Lillard kind of stays out of the bad press situations. He's smart in that regard. But looking at the X and O's of it, what could be bad about playing for Mr. Big Shot Chauncey Billups? You know what I'm saying? If this, you know, you think about some of the shots that, you know, in the championship that he won, and he's the finals MVP, for goodness sake, with the Detroit Pistons. And you think about the road he traveled where Patino and the Celtics organization at that time didn't think he could play when they picked him at pick three. They picked him at pick three, and then they got him out there and said, oh, he can't play point guard. And he made his way to Minnesota, and then Minnesota had him for a couple of years, and they said, well, we can only go so far with him. Then he bounced around with Denver, you know what I'm saying, until they got to his basketball maturity. So I think that can be learned and shared that to try to get this Portland and Damian Lillard over to the next level.
Right.
Their biggest thing might be, though, you know, I don't like to use the term small market, you know what I'm saying, but their biggest thing might be who else is on the team. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's necessarily with him and – I think the chemistry with him and McCollum is there, but they're the majority of the ones taking the shots.
And when both of them are cold, then that's when the team is cold. That's when the team is losing. You don't really necessarily have anything in the middle.
He did look good in that edited Pacer uniform.
Man, they would have to move heaven and high water. It could happen, Brandon. You know, we'd have to say goodbye to Sabonis and probably a couple of wing players that we have.
Right.
I think from what I read between the lines, I don't think the Pacers are. If it came down to it, they had to move a guy or a couple of guys. It would be Malcolm Brogdon and Sabonis because it sounds like they were the guys that complained about Nate McMillan. If you kind of read the rules, you know what I'm saying. They were the guys that complained about Nate McMillan.
Yeah, I didn't want to dive all the way into the Pacers again. We already had that topic.
You mentioned Damian Lillard in a Pacers uniform, but I don't know. Before he gets traded, I think he played at least one more and a half seasons before they can trade him because, like I said, a team would have to move a lot of pieces to get him right now.
Right. Couple things I have, John. Last two things I have. Actually, hold on. I got a couple things. Golf, PGA Golf, John, this past weekend, I don't know if you saw it, but my God, it went to 8 playoff holes before they got a winner. It was getting dark. These guys just kept parring each other back-to-back. 8 playoff holes. I don't know if that was the longest, but my God, it was intriguing. The fans were getting into it. The players said they were tired, but the fans kept getting them involved. But I thought it was very, very cool to watch on Sunday night. That's interesting.
I thought my man Bubba Watson was going to become like the third. He's like he owns this course. He won it like twice there, but in order to get into that rare air, he needed to win it one more time. And he was on par. He was on chase to get there, and then he just fell miserably flat.
Blew up.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, but like once Bubba lost, man, I kind of tuned out.
Two questions: did you watch Black Summer yet?
No. I got to get my Netflix together. Shame on me.
Secondly, I did watch I've got a couple movies in my list here I need to start watching. But TV series, though, John, I'm starting to watch on Apple TV Plus Ted Lasso. I'm starting to watch that.
Okay.
With Jason,
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis, which sounds pretty good so far. I've watched like 4 episodes so far. And then I watched the new movie. Judge me if you want to, but I watched Luca on Disney Plus.
Right, man. So, like,
the Spurs
have a player named Luca. I think his name is – I don't want to jack up his last name because I think he's from Serbia, I do believe. But, like, Toon looked real suspicious. Looked like it was like a tool that they was trying to recruit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just McMahon. Like, I don't know if they want to get – Popovich needs a player. If he can steal Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks and get him to play for the Spurs, man, that – oh, my God. The billionaire Mark Cuban would lose his marbles, man. But, like, nah, man, the only thing that kind of like on my radar outside of, like, watching Loki, you know what I'm saying, and whatever else, I'm kind of watching Disney+. I've seen that announcement today about the documentary on Lex Luger. I wish Fred came from, you know, he called there the other weekend, or every other week, rather. So we'll ask him next week what he kind of thought about Lex Luger. If he's listening. If you're listening, you need to call right now, Fred, before we go off the air. But, like, no, man, I'll be watching that because Luger right now is probably like, well, he's born again Christian now. Right, hangs out with Nikita Koloff, and he does a whole lot of speaking about, you know what I'm saying, trying to wash away, trying to racially kind of, you know what I'm saying, forget what some of this crap he did in the past.
Right.
But, man, I kind of real interested in, and hopefully, I know maybe your thoughts on Lex Luger, especially his WWE run when he was the, you know what I'm saying, when they had him as the narcissist, and then when he had the Lex Express, that was kind of cheesy, but like, before he got to WWE and he was with the WCW, with, you know what I'm saying, and Ric Flair, that's a classic Lex Luger. Like, that's when he was really good. And I'm kind of ambivalent on his, you know what I'm saying, the Nitro run. Obviously, he's the first guy that went over. If you do you remember that when he first came over?
I do, yes. Yes.
Supposed to appear on Raw.
I remember, not Shivani. Who's the other guy who was with him? Damn, I can't think of his name right now. Not Heenan. It was the guy that talks like
today?
He actually wrestled a few times. He used to wrestle back in the day, but he wrestled it's gonna bother me now. Give me a second.
It wasn't Mongo.
You're in the same ballpark that I'm in. Damn it, what is his name?
I know it was Tony Schiavone.
There was Tony Zabisco, Larry Zabisco. Because he goes, what are you doing here? That's the first thing he said. But
well,
John,
that's the thing, man. He was supposed to appear on Raw that night.
Right. I think it's interesting in that preview, that trailer I sent you, the fact that they said they wanted to make make Lex Luger Hulk Hogan in WWE. And the fact that he didn't get along with the fans. He didn't want to be around the fans.
Right.
You see that video where he's like, hey, you watch your mouth, or he says, I don't know what it was, but it pissed him off seeing the documentary on Sunday. But yeah, the story of Lex Luger, now he's down to a wheelchair and he's been arrested how many times, and his girlfriend, Miss Elizabeth, was dead after an overdose, and he's just like a shell of himself now after all those steroids. But it's that's going to be a real good, interesting documentary there on the WWE Network on Peacock this Sunday.
I know we have a lot of wrestling fans that kind of listen to our show. I know we have a lot of wrestlers listen to the show, man. I've always been, you know what I'm saying, I feel bad. I know wrestling is more of a, you know what I'm saying, they're performers and they are entertainers, and we all know it's predetermined, whatever. But, like, a lot of times those guys go through, you know what I'm saying, a lot to put themselves and to make themselves look like they're, you know what I'm saying, Adonis. I always feel bad when I hear about a guy. I never want nobody sticking nothing in their ass, you know what I'm saying, to entertain me. You know what I mean? Because the price that you pay afterwards when you become an old man like Lex Luger, man, he does not look anything like a total package, right? Like how he looked like, for real, $60 million back in 1986. You know what I'm saying? And now, and I get it, he's 60-something years old, but like, hell, we got 60-year-old Sting still wrestling. You know what I'm saying? There's no way Lex Luger take a bump in the wrestling ring today. Like I said, I'll be peeled. I mean, it's a lot of drama to learn more about Lex Luger, the man, the person, and kind of what he kind of changed his life to be. And like I said, I'll watch it. You bring up a good point about him. They were trying to get him to be Hulk Hogan. That's why they gave him that patriotic gimmick or whatever. It just didn't stick. He wasn't that. Lex Luger, his best gimmick is him kind of being like a Ravishing Rude kind of guy. Or elite somewhere in between Ravishing Rick Rude and Ric Flair was kind of his best persona, to where he is a chick magnet type of superstar that, you know what I'm saying, that can beat anybody. That was kind of, but not necessarily patriotic. That's why I didn't necessarily go over that.
Give me a ballpark. He did. He has tossed him. Let's get real. We said we were going to do this at some point. We still never have. Well, give me a ballpark 10-position ranking. Like, is he between 30 and 40 on ranked all-time as wrestler? Is he between 20 and 30, 10 and 20? Where would you rank Lex Luger?
Oh, he's behind a lot of guys. He's probably in the 30s.
30s? Okay. Yeah, that's not what I was thinking. I mean, he was world champion. So
his mic was good. His in ring, unless he was being carried by Ric Flair or some other, you know what I'm saying, somebody else.
Right.
Big. I mean, he had some pretty good matches with Vader, but that was all power, like, you know what I'm saying, elbow drop and leg drop and power slam. You know what I'm saying? Unless he was carried, you know what I'm saying, a lot of his matches were not great. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of tag teams with Sting. You know what I mean? Again, but you're kind of sharing the ring time. But, like, you know, he wasn't necessarily – ain't nobody going to ever confuse him with Chris Jericho matches or Eddie Guerrero matches. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. But great, great promo guy. And obviously, you know what I'm saying, looked like $60 million.
Speaking of such, John, I saw a picture, and I think I copied you on it on Twitter, I believe, or it was a video or something. But, you hate seeing, and you know, we're getting older, and we all our wrestlers, we like to think of them from when they were wrestling or the way they were and all that. Paul Orndorff, Paul Orndorff's another one I saw that just, ugh. I'm afraid we're going to be talking about him in a different light here very soon, because he looked like frail, skin and bones,
yep,
on the edge of the edge of death.
Yeah, unfortunately, man. Again, another steroid guy. Maybe not to the tune of Lex Luger, but another steroid guy. Those things just tear your body up afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Great for you. Great to make you look great, you know what I'm saying, on TV and whatnot. But, like, afterwards, man, when you get older, you know what I'm saying, they take their toll. He's kind of a guy that kind of lived, if I remember, man, he kind of retired from wrestling, was still working out guys at the WC Power Plant and even at some other wrestling schools. So again, man, we all have to get old. But when you put that steroid use on top of that, your naturalness of getting older, man, it's just a bad mix, man. So,
yeah.
He's one of my favorite heels of all time.
Yeah. Deacon said, well, the Steiner brothers, you know, Rick, I think his brother or his son just signed with somebody recently. I just saw.
Steiner son.
But here my thing. I'm surprised Scott Steiner is still alive. He is one that I am shocked he's lasted as long as he has lasted.
Walking steroid. Use it right there, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Rick Steiner is a school board member, apparently. Yeah, so apparently he's...
people, if you don't like me, bite me.
Shout out, we're still trying to get Rick Martel on the radio, on the show, so...
Man, Rick Martel got no socials, man, but we'll figure it out.
We're trying to get Rick Martel, trying the hardest. I'm still waiting on a response from Earl Hunter. Still wait. So, Earl, if you're listening, and we'd love to get you on. So, but oh, by the way, I did put a feeler out for Buff Bagwell. I think that'd be a hell of a story to hear. If we can get Buff the stuff, the ladies can't get enough.
Right.
In jail, but I think we could try to get him on for that. But, last thing I have, John, then we'll go to your list. It was announced today that college athletes starting tonight at midnight can start getting endorsements off their name, their likeness, their image. I think this is a slippery slope that is not going to go well.
No, and I think some of the older coaches didn't want to deal with the navigation of it. That's why we saw Coach K step away, Lon Kruger step away. It's a slippery slope, and it kind of, you know, so a kid, I can't say that a college athlete, whether they play basketball, baseball, or football, or whatever sport, shouldn't try to obviously maximize their name while they can, right? Everybody's not going pro, NBA, NFL. It's not happening, right? But to say, I don't know, Brandon. So, like, it just kind of, like, who – okay, so let's use – what's the guard's name for IU right now? Because he put on Twitter talking about my DMs are open, people, Christian Lander.
Yeah.
Right? Why would – if I'm a – if and there might be some – there might be a company or whatever, pizza place or even LSA. LSA, shame on me. LSA ain't in business anymore. Whoever, Macy's, Best Buy. There might be somebody that want to, you know what I'm saying, use him as an endorser. But they can't say, this is IU's basketball player. They just have to say Christian Lander, basketball player, you know what I'm saying, college basketball player. But then, Brandon, who do you, as a coach, we already got to stay on kids to go to school, right, to go to class, respect the institution, right? College athletes already put on a pedestal. Okay. They already do get a little bit of money. That's just the truth. Okay. They should get, I'm saying they probably should get more because we also got institutions like Auburn and Alabama that got $24 million training facilities. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Shout out to Ball State. They got a training facility too. You know what I'm saying? But, so I can't blame a kid, you know what I'm saying, for wanting to say, wait a minute, well, everybody's making a name off what we do out here. Where is my check? Where's my bigger check? Okay? But it's a slippery slope because now do we really have – who are you – I mean, you're not
you're now you have an employer, you're going to school, and you got a coach. So who you listening to?
Yeah, what's the pecking order?
Yeah, who are you paying attention to? We're trying to win games here. We're trying to beat Norfolk State. We're trying to beat, I'm talking about basketball. We're trying to beat whoever, Wake Forest. We're trying to beat North Carolina this week. You out here thinking about, you ain't thinking about school if you're signing autographs up at ball, you know what I'm saying, whatever, to for whatever. You're not thinking about what we need your focus on. I try to rationalize and play devil's advocate of and try to put my shoes in everybody's, you know, in everybody's, you know what I mean. But like,
by the way, do not Mississippi State. Just throwing that out there.
You said shout out to Mississippi State. They hit a, they
scored nothing right now. They just scored again. So
you're gonna be right about your bet. Like, nah, man, I think it's a very, it's gonna be a very slippery slope, and it's gonna be some messiness. I don't think it's not going to help the smaller schools either. The bigger schools still going to get the better players. Don't care what anybody says, because they got more money to offer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's, like I said, we'll see how it plays out, but it's not going to be looking good. And like you said, that's why the coaches were definitely leaving. Good news for the Boilermakers. Travion Williams coming back with Drew from the NBA draft. Travion's coming back. That means the entire starting five is coming back, plus some of the new recruits they've got in, Mr. Basketball, first coming in there. Boilermakers, there's a reason why they were preseason looking top 10 for this next year coming in, but huge Travion coming back. And you even said he needed to probably come back one more year as well to high note those hills.
Yeah, just looking at stats, man, just because you averaged a near double-double in college, what does your three ball look like? What is your isolation defense, not your team defense. What does your one-on-one defense look like? You know what I'm saying? From the analytics standpoint. And then what's your free throws look like? You know what I'm saying? All those things that Travion needs to work on. Like he needs to make big strides in order to become even the bottom half of the first round. Cause like, and Mock, when he announced, Mock draft still didn't have him in even the second round. You know what I'm saying? So that's good that he went back to school. Absorb whatever he can more from those coaching sessions from Matt Painter and Coach Brandon Branley, a friend of the program, both guys friends of the program. And like I'm hoping, I mean, you know, if they finish top five and make it to the Final Four, you know, there'll be more scouts looking at his resume a little bit deeper. You know what I mean? For sure.
Absolutely. And by the way, we're going to be in a predicament here this winter, because friend of the program Chris Artis and Incarnate Word are going to Purdue to take on friend of the program Brandon Brantley. So we're going to be who are we going to be rooting for in this game? I'm sure we'll do my best just to get us both up there for that game.
Well, this is two of us. This is two of us and two of them. You were, and you're West Lafayette, you know what I'm saying, originally from. You make sure you stick to your Purdue roots, and I wear the shooting shirt that Coach Artis sent us. From the word. That way we'll, you know what I'm saying, we'll keep both our bases covered.
Perfect. Two things. I keep saying two things. I watched the Mick Foley. Mick Foley was on the Stone Cold podcast thing on Peacock.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of
that.
That
was good.
Yep.
That was a good 2-hour show just about Mick's life. Nothing I haven't seen and heard before, but it was good to have him and Stone Cold talk kind of about them, and then the fact that you know, that their run they had together with Dude Love and such, and then how the Undertaker and Mick Foley were up there, obviously, with the infamous Hell in a Cell match, and how kind of haggle the whole process there. So that was cool. If you get a chance to take a look at that, definitely watch it. And, John, I know we talked about, I said July is going to slow down with the NBA gone, and it's just baseball. But we also, hey, for a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Olympics. So we'll be able to talk some Olympics.
Yep. Olympic track. I'm putting my pinky toe in it right now. Olympic track, hoops. You know what I'm saying? They got all that. So
hey,
I can't wait.
Oh, where's my sounder at? Breaking news sounder.
Uh oh.
Where's that?
On air.
Yeah. Breaking news. There's a report that trade talks with the NBA are progressing between the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The trade would send Colin Sexton and Kevin Love to the Miami Heat for Tyler Hero, Iguodala, and a third player.
Sounds like that's going to happen.
It sounds like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So Tyler Hero and Andre Iguodala and another player going to Cleveland for Kevin Love and Colin Sexton. Miami, Pat Riley going to try to tweak it up just a little bit. Kevin Love, can he get a resurgence down in Miami? It's not official, but there is talks that this trade could be happening.
Hey, Brandon, Pat Riley wants another shot at the ring, man. He got fined a couple weeks ago. I shared it on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page. He got kind of fined a couple weeks ago talking about he left the ring under – no, not the ring, left the key under the mat for LeBron. And LeBron still signed for, like, another year, I do believe. So, like, he still would want LeBron James in year 20 or year 18.
Right.
Can you imagine that? That reconciliation, that getting back together, that'd be crazy. But no, man, he knows that he is putting together teams together, whether anybody thinks Kevin Love is washed up, even the Kevin Love and you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's washed. I just think he ain't played because what significant game has he played? Has Cleveland played since LeBron left? Think about it. Kyrie left,
right.
LeBron left. You know what I'm saying? What significant game had they played? So he just kind of played the numbers and played out his contract, you know, and dealt with his other off-the-court issues, you know what I'm saying, dealing with his mental health and whatnot. And, you know what I'm saying, they kind of stayed in the lottery, the Cleveland Cavaliers have. So I think that happens. And then once Iguodala, if I look at the, you know what I'm saying, thinking what I know about trades, Iguodala gets traded, he'll ask for a buyout or something crazy and then end up on somebody else's team. So Pat Riley obviously wants Colin Sexton because they have the Cavaliers already have Garland. They're probably going to draft another guard. If they're trying to get rid of Sexton, they're probably going to draft either Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs. You know what I mean? So it is the writing's on the wall. Like I said, Pat Riley probably wants another shot at, you know what I'm saying? You don't get that shot by necessarily building through with young 18, 19-year-old. You get there with Bill and Vett. So, you know, we better bet. And, hell, Kevin Love's on the Olympic team. Sorry, Jalen Rose.
Yeah. Shout out Danny Limelight into the program. Danny Limelight, there's a new movie he's going to be in called Joe Riv. Hashtag Joe Riv. Drops this Friday. He just posted on Twitter, who has podcasts? Let's talk about Joe Riv on your podcast. DM me. So, hey, I said, Danny, we'd love to have you back on. So we'll see if we can get Danny Limelight back on maybe next week. We got a lot to talk about. Movie is after he left us, he went straight to AEW.
Straight to AEW, straight to, you know what I'm saying? I can't necessarily say we were totally responsible for his success. He was already a comment riding high. We just kind of, I was like, dude, we got to get this guy. I told him we got to get this guy before we can't get him. But he's a real humble guy. I'm sure he'll answer the DM, and we'll get to talk to Danny Limelight once again. I can't wait.
Jonathan Birdsong, put the bat signal out. We can try to get Danny back on again. That'd be,
I'll get him. I'll send him a message as well, for sure.
Perfect. Other than that, John, that's all I have for this evening. I actually go on vacation tomorrow, so I will be out for a week, heading down to Louisville for some rest and relaxation, some bourbon, and some fireworks. So I will be back. We'll still have the same show next week, same time. I'll be back. But, looking forward to getting some time away for this holiday. All I have left, everybody have a safe, happy July 4th. Don't let the fireworks off in your hand. Back up, Terry.
Right.
If you've seen that video, YouTube it. Back up, Terry. We're in reverse. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Have a great July 4th holiday. Go USA. Have some great barbecue and stuff. John, I'll let you in the show, my bro.
Brandon, you send me your resume, man. We got to get our resumes together and send it down to Orlando so that we can be the head coaches of the Orlando Magic, since they don't know who the hell the head coach is going to be. And the freaking draft is like a month and a half. Not even a month and a half. It's like a month away. Ain't that silly, man?
You know who they're going to hire? Well, they turned down Penny Hardaway, so he went back to Memphis and he took Larry Brown with him, who was at IU for a hot second. But you realize they're going to bring a retread back in. They're going to bring old Stan Van Gundy, the last person to give them that success. You watch.
He'll get fired again.
By the way, New Orleans hasn't hired.
No, they haven't either, man. Again, another. They're on Zion Williams' watch. You know what I'm saying?
They got more
to lose.
Are they waiting for Coach Boots?
Maybe I don't know, man. Maybe they think Coach K's gonna come, but like he still got one more year with Duke, and he's going out with a bang. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Like,
man. You would rather live in Orlando for 2 years than New Orleans. So get your resume together.
Breaking news: Kawhi Leonard will miss the rest of the Western Conference Finals per Chris Hayes. So he will be out if there's a game seven. So Paul George, it's up to you tonight, PG. Get it done.
It's on Paul Star. He's gonna get it done, man. All right, man. I know we're strapped for time, man. So I just want to say thank you to both our number ones, friends of the program, D-Cod and Reggie, for calling in and making the Sanford and Son hour real pleasant, man. I also want to say thank you to both of our sponsors, both Maverick Custom Motorsports and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Dude, we couldn't put this show on without them. So please, everybody listen to my voice. Support them who support us. I think that's what I wanted to say, right? Support those. And just go on, click on the links, click on their website and see what services they have to offer. You might find some things that might interest you, either from an insurance standpoint or even from a tipping out your ride or your sling boat standpoint. So for sure, click on those links and check out the services they have. Outside of that, folks, like I said, Brandon and me will be back tomorrow with another great show. Hopefully, with even some more.
Next week, great tomorrow.
I'm sorry. You never know. You never know. We're about to do a Facebook Live or something tomorrow, man. But like that, we'll be back next week with another great show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.